and the journey, Father, that each of us must go on. That journey, Heavenly Father, involving so many areas of life, our family, work, social life, finance, health, all of the various things, Father, that go together to make up one's journey, the very sin nature, the cosmos as we live in it in the Metroplex area, all of these things. So, Father, this becomes the perfect time for us, because this is the time that you have brought us. It becomes, Heavenly Father, therefore, a challenge to be able to walk by faith in the midst of all of the great distractions we have in the world today. It is an exciting time. It is a challenging time to simply walk by faith. It's a difficult time. It's so easy, Father, to get distracted by the unbelievable multitude of things on planet Earth to have, to possess, to desire, to enjoy, to be distracted. And somewhere along the line put these things even more important than walking by faith. Finding our happiness in the possession of these things, the control of these things, rather than just walking in the Spirit. Father, we pray now that as we worship together, that we will fulfill the purpose of the design of the assembly, the very fact of being here, to encourage one another to walk by faith. Encourage one another in the various battles that each serve, instead of judging and looking and hurting, but encouraging, helping, and restoring. Father, we pray that your Spirit will lead us this morning in wisdom and love. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Couple of things to be in prayer concerning. First of all, does anyone have anything that we need to bring up in prayer that we need to be made aware of this morning? Okay, right after class, I'll be driving up to Hot Springs to do some teaching, and please solicit your prayers in regard to going there and the teaching there. So please bear that in mind. In a few moments, we will be taking the offertory. And one of the things I want to, what are we doing? I made a mistake. I call it a mistake. With a lot of the assembly that we had and a lot of people that were here and have seceded from the assembly. And that was the accumulation of finance, and with the ideal of rainy day and all that kind of thing. And all it did was whet the appetite of various people to be able to control all of that, and that's a shame, rather than to be using it. And so when these things come up, I want you to be aware of where our finances are going. And if you wish, we will have a congregational meeting and look at our finances, but I want to just let you know that next Sunday, Ian McGrath is going to be leaving for Santo Domingo, and he'll be going down there. Let me just orient you. I'm a person I like to see, and it just brings me closer. Santo Domingo, be in prayer. Okay, I got you. You know, now let's go on. Let me just orient you. Santo Domingo, and you know I like to draw abstract drawing. I love the period of abstract artistry when it came into being, because I can relate to that. But there's an abstract of Florida, and there's Miami, and then you come down and you've got running around like this, like a long cigar, is Cuba, and then you keep coming down from Cuba, and down here is divided, there's two countries here divided. This one is Haiti. And then you have on the right side the Dominican Republic. And so here's the Dominican Republic. And right on the southern, right about in the center of the southern part is the capital. And that is Santo Domingo. And this is where Ian has an end there, that he will be going there starting next Sunday, and he is taking 10,000 of the Salvation by Grace in Spanish, and you pay for it. We pay for the publication of these things. I don't want to embarrass anyone, but John contributed the paper for this, and so with a combination of these things, we printed up at this printing 100,000, and they'll be gone less than a year, so we'll be doing this again. And we're working right now on printing up the Salvation, or the Spirituality Salvation one, and we're working on getting that in Spanish also, but going to have it out in this size, and we're trying to get together the printing of that. So we should have this very quickly. But I just want you to know right now, this is your touch. Now, he will go into, generally what he does, what Ian does, is goes into the military compounds, and he is has almost an open door. It's just amazing grace. He has an influence that almost no other missionary really has, just to come in and speak to these men and to pass these things out. And so he goes in. Well, in this area, not only will he have the privilege of going to the various military posts, but also he now will have the opportunity of going into the various police posts that are in the Santo Domingo, and will give out at least 10,000 of these, probably more if we could get him more before he leaves, but this is all that was printed up, and I picked them up yesterday, and we'll carry them down there. But let's be in prayer. You can be a part. Now, you are a part financially, and now enter into it more personally in prayer. Just to give you an idea, in his last trip to Central and South America, approximately 500 people led to the Lord in one day. And you got a part of that. So what Ian and I, and John, because John is very much involved with Ian and Carol McGrath, John and Sue, and what we want to do is get the, what's that, I brought one up here instead of just referring to it, but you know the long spirituality is taken as a pattern from our salvation, and at least be able to give them both of those things. So Ian is an evangelistic missionary, therefore his outreach is to the unbeliever primarily. That's his target. Now he has a great burden, as so does John, as a matter of fact, as he's talked to Ian a lot. We walk away, and this has always been a problem. We walk away. And what do? Now, one of the things is the charismatic group are very good at coming right behind and getting them emoting. And so what at least will be effective, if we can get the pamphlet out in Spanish that says, okay, now your salvation is a pattern of your spiritual life. He will at least leave them, those that are led of the Spirit, to move into it, at least with the beginning steps on how to live the Christian life. And so these two things become very important, getting this out, getting him down there, and then getting something into their hands. Now that you are saved, this is how you're going to live, just as a pattern off of your salvation. So if anybody comes in behind him and says, now, this is what you have to do to live a Christian life, this is what they'll at least have enough to be able to say, no, that's not how I was saved. I was saved by grace through faith. That's how I live. I've learned that much. And I understand that much in the Holy Spirit. So, people, this is, as far as I'm concerned, an assembly our size that God is using us in this type of way. And what's going to happen next Sunday, what's already happened in his ministry in the last few months, is just powerful. Not even to mention the tapes and other things that we're doing, but just this one outreach, silent. Nobody knows. Our name, and we don't need that for other people to know. God knows. In fact, let me even better than that. It isn't even a matter of God knows, like, okay, now God will help reward. No, God has given us that opportunity. That's all that matters, as far as I'm concerned. We have that opportunity. There's two things involved here that are important to me. One is to be put into a position where you have the opportunity. What I mean by that is you have either the finance and or the opportunity, position, all those kinds of things, and even the knowledge of what needs to be done. And then two, so that's grace, you have that, but then to manifest that faith and to say, okay, now that's what I want to do. I see that need, I see that opportunity, I want to do that. That's powerful. Because a lot of people are put into position, but never walk by faith and use that position as unto the Lord. There are a multitude of Christians who are in position, but are not using it. So this becomes an opportunity of where you are in the position which we are in the degrees that He is using us, and therefore we have the opportunity. And so I want us to continue to have that attitude to take advantage of it and to use that opportunity. So this is something that will be happening next Sunday. He will be leaving for Santo Domingo, the capital of the Dominican Republic, in this trip. And he has many others that are planned. It's just this one that's coming up. And so please bear this in mind. And the address on the back of these things, I'm not even sure I've told Leslie and Linda, but is the our tape office in Richardson address. I like to do that. I'll tell you why. Why not Spring Valley Bible Church and our address here? First of all, we're not always that stable on getting our mail here. But more importantly, I'm sorry, and we've studied this many times, some of the most arrogant people are Christians. And if we had some church name, something down here, a lot of people wouldn't use it. We don't want to push that church. We want to just push this or that or what we're working in. So this is a post office box. It's not a church. It's not a person's name. And more and more people are more inclined over the years with things that we've done to be able to use it. Just because it doesn't say like, we'll be pushing this church or pushing this person or pushing that or sponsoring that. We don't want to do that. So that's why I use the post office box in case anybody sees them and wants some more. This gives us that opportunity to be able to reach that. I'd rather God do all the knowing and we just make ourselves there when He's ready. So these are the kinds of things that are going on. And with that in mind, if any of you ever have some free time and want to help, Leslie and Linda and Wes over in the tape department, they do a lot more than just tape, but in the tape department, just let them know and they'll line up on that time frame. So that's one thing that is going on. Well, actually the two will be going teaching in Arkansas, and then this, getting the publication out on how salvation is a pattern from our how spirituality is a pattern from our salvation. So please be in prayer. You're already involved in the doing stage, but now let's follow up with the power stage, if that is in the area of power prayer. So please bear those things in mind. Any question on that? Sometimes we go through these missionary things and I just give the report and move on. I want to get in and say, in fact, they want to move here. Their journey of seeing spirituality by grace to faith has been quite an interesting one. And they would like to be a part of this assembly in the daily worship. But that's a matter of prayer also. So let's just be in prayer for them. And that's what some of the things going on with our finances. And so just bear that in mind. Offertory, therefore, is not for the unbeliever. If you're here this morning and have never accepted Christ as Savior, the offering is not for you. The offering is just for those who have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. And it is one of those things that we find people, when you're walking by faith in the Spirit, you will want to give. I've been asked several times, even recently, in some of the out teaching, well, if walking by faith in the Spirit is all there is that that's the main thing and that's the message, then why do I need to go to church and have a pastor and all these kinds of things? And the answer is very simple. Is it your understanding of Scripture that the Holy Spirit will lead you away from the assembly? Is that what you understand the Spirit will do? Do you understand that the Spirit will lead you away from a love of Scripture? To know how this pardon expression, same message, is from beginning to end. Do you think that once you see it, that the Holy Spirit now is just going to say, well, now you don't need to know anything else? Or do you understand from Scripture that He will give you an even greater love of the Scriptures and wanting to know what's going on? Well, that same thing is true in regard to giving. People, we could set up a program of giving and really squeeze for giving, and some of you would do that. Maybe even more of you would do that. Let me just say it that way. But it would be Ishmael. It would not be Isaac. You can make it happen. Or what I can do is just encourage you to walk in the Spirit and let Him have it happen in your life. And that's what we want here. That's what God can use. And that's what God will use. So let's prepare ourselves for the offering in prayer. Father, what a privilege it is to assemble ourselves with other believers, like-minded, Father. What a privilege it is to be a part of the spreading of the gospel for both the unbeliever and the believer. For Paul has made it very clear that the gospel is for the believer when he said, you have moved to a different gospel. You now live by a different gospel from that which you were saved. What a privilege it is, Father, to have this assembly. We thank you for it, the opportunity to give it to us, Heavenly Father. Pray that we will continue to be an encouragement to each other in the battle that we find ourselves in, that we may fulfill our destiny corporately and then individually, Heavenly Father. That our individual destiny is part of the corporate destiny here, and we fulfill both of them. Father, we pray now that you will receive these offerings and that you will continue to use them, Father, not for ill purpose, but for the purpose of the glory of your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's open the Scripture, if you will, to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 3. The Gospel of John, chapter 3. I've got to make some headway here, but we've got some important concepts that I want to go over with you. So let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. To be able to understand what certain things are just demands the lightning ministry of God the Holy Spirit. I don't think that anyone here is shocked with the idea that if we were to say evil and bring up 10 pastors, say from denominations and movements and churches, you'd be no surprise to get 10 different simple definitions of what evil is. How do you understand what evil is? What is evil when you think of it in the spiritual realm? There are a lot of realms that we could talk about evil. The Oakland Raiders beating the Cowboys, even in preseason, is evil. Now, that's a different category, a different dimension. We're talking about evil in the spiritual realm, the more serious and obviously far more important realm. So let's prepare ourselves in prayer. The Spirit can open our eyes and we can see what's going on in the context. People, I'm so oriented in allowing the Spirit to deal with me in context. So many wrong teachings are going on, even by people who go verse by verse, but still don't teach context. You can do that. You can teach a book in the Bible and still not see it. And context is so essential. And I want us to see that in our study and what's going on. Let's pray. Our Father, we now move into the serious part of the battle, the real war, the opening up of Scripture. Many people, Heavenly Father, will believe in the inerrancy of Scripture and yet never see the truth. We do not come into the Scriptures, Father, to read into it, but rather, Father, for your Spirit to lead us into what it says and that we can take it out of it. Pray that your Spirit now will take us into the Scripture, lead us on that journey, and open our eyes so we can see as we just trust Him to do this. This is why He was sent, given to us. Father, pray that you will protect us from the powers of darkness that would seek to impede our understanding and our seeing of truth. Father, pray that you will give us the peace and strength over the flesh that would seek to intrude and challenge the truth. Father, we can see these things, understand them in our own personal lives, most of all. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, what have we been in? We've been in a phenomenal discussion, wonderful terms and concepts like love. The love of God. The love of God that He would send His Son. So we're dealing with a beautiful concept there. We're dealing with light. The light coming into the world, and the concept of how light opens up all of these wonderful things that is going on. So we have a lot of things that are here. Faith is simply trusting. In John 3, 15, 16, 17, 18, take a look at how beautiful it reads in our study. Verse 13, and no one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, even the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes, there is the faith aspect, everyone who believes may in him have eternal life. We could even write life up here. So we have these beautiful words that you just pick up. I took a course in college in communication, senior level course, and one of the things in dealing with communication, and I used to do this, just forced myself to do it, but you sit down and what is the motif, the momentum, the emotion that you desire to, we studied great speeches through history, presidential speeches, all this type of thing, and you just take words out that set a mood as you read it through, even a personal letter, but primarily speeches and things like this. And it's built by just words that are used throughout. And so if you decide, okay, I want to write a letter and my message is going to be this. I want them to know that I'm upset. I want them to know that, however it is, you get about 25 words. And somewhere in the midst of your letter, you use at least 12 of them. And you create that whole atmosphere. And, okay, this is what we've got going on. In verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. And then when we left off at 18 last week, he who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe in him is judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now don't read on yet. Now here's our feel in words. We got love and light and faith and life. Okay, in this context, what we're going to have now? Jesus Christ is still speaking to Nicodemus. Remember that, and remember who Nicodemus is and what Nicodemus must do. What his name means. Okay, and in the midst of all of this, we're going to have coming up hate. We're going to have darkness. We're going to have evil. So we're going to have these kinds of words coming into play. And it's amazing, if you're talking about love, and you're talking about light, and you're talking about all these wonderful things, and you come up with, in the same context of discussion, other words. Now people, make no doubt about it. I have the ability, I have the understanding of the languages. I can give you 35 points on hate, 35 points on darkness, 50 points on evil. Take 2 or 3 months to do it, and I doubt you'd understand what's going on. I'm going to do it in one day without all of that. And if you just let the Spirit take you through this, see if this doesn't make sense to you, what's going on here? What do these words mean? And why are they in this context and what we're dealing with? So we're going to now have hate and darkness and evil. And what do they mean as far as in the context? Where do they come from in Jesus Christ's discussion with Nicodemus. And I want to do this in one morning. So like the black pastor, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you, then I'm going to tell you, and then I'll tell you what I told you. And that's a great way to learn. And what I want you to see is that one of the most difficult things in the world to handle on a personal level for people is to have your love rejected. I don't know if you have. I don't know if you have by someone you loved in your youth or even where you are now. Maybe a child, maybe even a husband, wife. It is a very difficult thing to handle when someone says, no, I don't want your love. And there's nothing you can do about that. We cannot make someone love us. You can offer your love, and in the romantic realm, using that as example, many people offer their love and it's shunned. I don't want it. A man offers his love, the woman says no. The woman offers her love, the man says no. For lots of different reasons. That is my point, is to go through the reasons why. We deal with the concept of darkness and evil. What do those words mean to you? When you hear the concept of darkness and evil, what most people think of and when they hear the word evil is horrible sins. Not just normal sins, but evil are those really bad sins. Is that what the biblical concept of evil is? I think you're going to find out that it isn't. And we'll find out what darkness and what evil really is in context. So here we are in these beautiful phrases of love and light and life and faith. And in this we have darkness and rejection and evil. And just to get us started, but I want you to start getting into your mind and see if this flows for you when we go through the study. That if light comes in, and what does light do? It reveals if the room is dark, we don't know what's going on. But if the light comes in, it sheds light on what is going on in the room. I mean, we hear something in the house, and generally the house is dark while we're sleeping. So one of the first things we do is turn on the light so that we can see if there's any activity, any movement, and the light will reveal what activity and what movement is going on. Now, that brings us to an understanding, well, what is that darkness? That darkness, people, is what man is offering up to God. Forget about the sin aspect of darkness. Just stay with me and just, what I want you to do is see if this flows for you. What the darkness is what man is doing for God. I'm doing this for you, God. And then the light comes on and reveals what you're doing, and it even reveals it to you that this isn't what God wants. That what God has done, He has sent His Son. And that's all that God wants you to do. He has sent His Spirit. And what God wants you to do is simply trust His Spirit. Trust His Son. That's what He wants you to do. The light, the Son and the Spirit, and they're both light, what they do then, they manifest, you're not doing this, what are you doing? Well, whatever you're doing, people, that's what evil is. Evil is what I'm offering up God. What I'm offering up God. And when somebody comes along and talks about just faith in the one whom God has sent, that turns a light on what I'm offering other than just trusting Him. So, what am I going to do? I'm going to hate that light that reveals what I'm doing. I don't want that going on. I want that turned off. I want that set up. Now, I'm going to be referring this back to our study this morning, so let me just lay the groundwork. Cain, first book of the Bible. Let's go to the first book written is, of course, Job. But the first story, let's deal with man right out of the garden. Please remember, a lot of people know Cain killed Abel. Why did he kill Abel? What was going on with that? Please remember, Cain did not shun, blaspheme, walk away from God. I'm not going to do anything for you. I don't believe in all this stuff anyway, and I'm out of here. Are there any honky-tonks open yet? Because if there are, I'm out of here. And what he did, people, he brought his best to God. He brought his best to God. Now, if you can picture this aspect for me, if we could have a section over here, and it's dark, And what's going on in that darkness is Cain is bringing his best. Then a light comes on. That's the concept of Abel. And Abel is just trusting God. So what has happened now with what Abel did, we have a startling contrast of these two men. One man offered his best. He worked hard and did something great for God. The other man said, I trust you, God. So what has to happen? In this picture, if you stay with me, because I'm going to carry this through. What's Abel a picture of? Abel is a picture of Jesus Christ, people. And Cain is a picture of the human race who has to kill Abel. Because what Abel's doing reveals what Cain is doing, and that what Cain is doing is wrong, is evil. Now, he's not, in the traditional sense of sin, he's not out there sinning. He is doing great things for God. He's brought God his very best production. That's what evil is. That's why I put it in contrast with faith. What evil is anything that I might offer God rather than just trusting him. People, it can be something very simple like repentance or confession or sorrow. It can be more complex to the sacraments of the church, to lordship salvation, to works, to doing, to morality, to a lot. I mean, we can make it really big. We can make it very simple, very big. But the point is, God, I am offering you this. I am offering you this so that you will save me, so that you will bring me out of sin into spirituality, so that you will bless me. Whatever it may be, I want from God. So I'm going to do this rather than just trust you. And what the light does, it reveals that I'm not just trusting him, and so I want the light turned off. I want that light turned off so that this will not be seen for what it is, and it will look good in the dark. It will look good in the dark. You know the old joke, we all look good in the dark. Turn on the light, and things change a little bit. Then we're going to look at love and hate. All right, where am I coming from? Look at verse 19. And notice in verse 19, in context, look at it, it says, and this is the judgment, that the light is come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. There's your secret. Do you see it? God does it. Now, deeds that are acceptable to God are done by God. And we're going to put all of this together. I just want you to see the whole flow of the whole passage, these three verses. And you'll see what is going on in our study. All right, let's go back to verse 19. And this is the judgment, that light has come into the world. And this is the incarnation of God into the human race. And later it'll be the coming of the Holy Spirit. And men, and we've already looked at that as a definition of the world, loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. Now, how do you see what darkness means? Not, people, please, you know, one of the great problems is, and I've learned this, if you don't see these things, if the Holy Spirit doesn't open your eyes yourself, and you're following a man or a man's teaching or a denomination's teaching, and as soon as something happens, it all crashes. You have to allow the Holy Spirit to open your eyes, not just walk out of here, well, pastor said this is what... No, don't do that. Because what I'm going to take you on, all any pastor does, people, let me just tell you this. He's the speaker, he's not the teacher. Holy Spirit's the teacher. What a pastor does is, he shares with you the journey that the Holy Spirit, hopefully, can be the flesh, and most of the time is, but he goes through with you what he understands Scripture to be. That's what he goes through with you. Your responsibility is not to just say, I follow this man, and boy, if this man says it, it's right. If this man says it, this, that, or the other of it. Don't do that, people. Take your own. You have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in you, and you can't stand up at the judgment seat of Christ and say, "Yeah, but let me tell you about this guy back here." No, it's your journey. And all I want to do is see if this makes sense to you as we flow through this. So how do you see and understand darkness? Now, first of all, where does it come from in context? Where does it come from? And this is the judgment. The light is coming to the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for his deeds were evil. Where does it come from in context? Jesus Christ is talking to Nicodemus. What did Nicodemus come and talk about? Nicodemus did not come and talk about salvation, did he? He came and talked about the kingdom of God. That's what he initially came and talked about, and that's very important. He had already assumed he was there. Saved. He's talking about the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ talks about being born from above so that you can enter into that spiritual kingdom. We've already studied that. Now, he talks about darkness. Why? People, you have to start understanding, not start, but as you carry into it, there are two kingdoms in this great battle. There are two kingdoms. One kingdom is the kingdom of darkness. The other kingdom is the kingdom of light. This is God's kingdom, as it were, and this is Satan's kingdom, as it were. And what Satan wants to do is keep all mankind in his kingdom of darkness. That's how he will be like God. He doesn't necessarily want to or excel to be ruler of the kingdom of the light. He just wants to be kingdom of this of the darkness. In other words, keep all mankind, all creatures, all angels, all man in his kingdom. Does that make sense? Because then what you would have is, God would have his kingdom, nobody in it but him. Satan would have his kingdom, even though it's darkness and death, all creatures would be there. All angels, all man, would be in his kingdom. And not then, then I would be God over my kingdom. And the thing is, can God, because we start out in the kingdom of darkness, can God come into Satan's kingdom and rightfully rescue us out of Satan's kingdom and take us into the kingdom of light? Can he do that? This is the great issue of the battle. So we're dealing with two kingdoms, light and darkness, if you please. And the earth, without Jesus Christ, that is, without light, is darkness, just as the individual, without Jesus Christ, is darkness, and hates Jesus Christ. Okay, look at Colossians 1:13. Look at Colossians. All I'm working on now is, where does this come from in context? So let's look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. I'm not going to spend much time on it, but a moment here. Alright. Colossians 1:13. For he delivered us from the kingdom, domain, kingdom, of darkness. Now this is what God has done for us, people. And transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Now, if we started out with a basic series, one thing we'd start out with is an understanding of these two kingdoms. Got the kingdom of darkness, two kingdoms, kingdom of darkness, kingdom of light. What is the policy plan in the kingdom of light? Well, just grace, faith. What is the policy in the kingdom of darkness? Work, production, performance. This is Satan's kingdom. And what we have in Colossians is these two kingdoms, and what Christ has done, he has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness, transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Now, we remain in the kingdom of darkness. What does that mean? It means, it refers to those who refuse to believe in Jesus Christ come to the light. The way you're going to change your kingdom is come to the light, and the way we come to the light is by faith. You can't do anything. Here's a good place to see this spatially. You can't do anything, people, to go from one kingdom to the other kingdom. You can't be good. At a certain level of being good, you get to move from one kingdom to the other. You can't do that. There are two entirely different places of existence. You have to be born from this kingdom. You have to be born from this kingdom. This is our first birth, And by virtue of our second birth, we are born in the kingdom of light, and that's why we're going to get to return to the kingdom of light. And how are you born? And Mr. White talked about that. How are you and I born from above? Faith. Not by something we do. It's not making man better that takes him from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, people. It's a complete change. It's a complete new birth. Entering the kingdom. Now, let's go to John. See what the author of our context. John tells us about this darkness. Look at John chapter 1, verse 5, the first place. This is the proper way of studying. We want to know what John means by darkness? Well, let's see what John means by darkness. Not what I want it to mean, not what I think it means, but let's just deal with the text. What does John mean? And this is the judgment coming into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, okay? John 1:5. Let's take a look at John 1:5. In context here, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Now, what is the light? The light is the one whom God sent. In the context of John 1, it's the person of Jesus Christ. Later, it'll be the Holy Spirit sent into the darkness. So, the light, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, come into darkness. The darkness, what is that? The darkness is the world without God. The darkness is the world without God. Darkness is not horrible sins. It's not horrible sins. I want you to, if you can, to start seeing that's not what darkness is. Darkness is existence without God. And then we're going to come to evil that gets us into, well, what am I going to try to do for God to come out of it? But right now, darkness is simply existence without God. For God is light. And where God is not, if you can think of that kind of a concept, that is darkness. And the light, John 1:5, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So, what is the not comprehend? Darkness cannot comprehend the light. If the Greek word means to take in the light, seize it, possess it, apprehend it, attain, perceive. Man cannot understand the light. This is one of the great problems. Man desires to understand. He can't understand the light. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. The word here in John 1:5 does not comprehend it. Because if the darkness comprehends, if man comprehends the light, people, he will see his state, and he doesn't like that. Once he does comprehend it, there's no more darkness. So man cannot comprehend, says here, and darkness did not comprehend. Because once darkness, yeah, I hope you can understand this, it's not a difficult concept. Once darkness seizes or possesses the light, what happens to the darkness? It's gone, right? By definition. If we just take the word comprehend, let's just take this one, and this right out of the lexicon, I didn't pull anything on you, to take it or to seize it. Once the darkness takes the light, there's no more darkness. So what you have to do is do what? Give up self. And man isn't going to do that from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He's not going to do that from that far back. Man cannot understand the light. How is the light perceived and understood? By faith. That's the only way you're going to comprehend the light is by faith. Now, very important to all of this is one of my favorite passages, Isaiah chapter 50. Look at Isaiah 50 with this in mind now. See, I know sometimes we've gone through it, but see if it doesn't click now with this in mind. Isaiah chapter 50. Let's look at Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 50. Now, what I want to do is, let's just look at briefly in Isaiah 50. I want to look at the last two verses of Isaiah 50. And what we have to realize is, in this whole discussion, is when we're talking about darkness, and we're talking about evil, and we're talking about hate, I want you to understand that this refers not only to the unbeliever, in many cases, even born-again believers. I'll show you that. Let's take a look now in Isaiah chapter 50, and all we're going to look at is verses 10 and 11. Who is among you that fears the Lord, that obeys the voice of his servant? Okay. We have a lot of things here. There's that word obey, so we have to know what that means. And the servant. And that's Jesus Christ. And what's the thing that Jesus Christ looks for? The obedience is faith, believe, trust me. So if the obedience of the Lord is our faith. Now, look what it says. Who is it among you that fears the Lord, obeys his voice, walks in darkness, has no light? Now, people, it's the first thing you and I have to do. And every one of you have accepted Christ as Savior. This is where you started and you did this. You're in darkness and have no light of your own. You have no light. That means you have no way of saving yourself. This is your condition. You're in darkness. You have no light. No way of saving yourself. Let him who recognizes that he's walking in darkness and has no light, let that one trust. Okay, there's the obedience. In the first line, we have that obey. Second line there, second phrase, that obeys. What is the obedience? Trust. That let him trust in the name of the Lord, that's the servant. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely, another word for faith, on his God. Okay, rely on his God for what? For getting out of the darkness into the light. Stay with the verse. That's what I'm going to rely on him to do. This is the true gospel. Now, why do people reject love? Why do people reject the light? Why do people reject the one whom God has sent? Okay, we're going to see it in our text in John 3 in a few moments, but we even have it here. And one of the fundamental reasons why we reject the people is, I have my own. I don't need just to rely on him. I have something that I can do. I can repent. I can confess. I can be solved. I can make it right. I can do this. I don't need to just trust him, the one he sent. I can do. Let's see what it looks like, what the false gospel looks like. I hope you understand the true gospel for both unbeliever and believer in verse 10. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. And the last part there, that refers to God. Okay, first, the Holy Jesus Christ, and then the Holy Spirit. They are the two phases, salvation 1 and 2 right there. Now verse 11. Okay, behold. All right, we're going to have another group. All of you who kindle a fire. Now, what in the world does that mean, to kindle a fire? What does it mean? Where does it come from? Well, kindle a fire means I'm going to make my own light. Remember, fire is light. So I'm going to make my own light. I'm going to make it happen. I hope you're following this. I'm going to make my own light. Okay, now look what it says. Who encircle yourself with firebrands. In other words, you encircle yourself with your own light now so that you can see. Walk in the light of your fire. You walk in what you produce. You walk in your own light. Now, let me just help you a minute. Let's just say we're over here in our little area where we had Cain, and what Cain has done, and what evil does. I've got my own light. I bring in my offering. That's my own light. I've made this, and I'm walking in it, and it's very clear to me what I'm doing for God, and God's going to accept this because I'm making it. Now, you and I know that this whole thing is in darkness, but Cain doesn't know it's in darkness. This person doesn't know it's in darkness because he thinks he's doing quite well. He thinks he's doing great things for God. So let's see how it flows now. Walk in circle in your own firebrand. Walk in the light of your own fire, and among the brands you have set ablaze, this you will have from my hand, and you will be lie down in torment. In other words, rejected. Going to be rejected. People, you can't make your own flame, your own fire, your own light. Many people think they can, and this verse decides most religions, most people, and a lot of Christians who are walking not in faith in the Holy Spirit. I can make this happen as an unbeliever, and then a lot of believers do it. I don't need to just trust in Him. I don't need to just trust in the one God sent. I can produce this. I can make something happen. And that's what darkness and evil is. You think you're doing it. You think you're doing something for God. And you're just in this whole little world. And until someone comes in and says, no, what you got to do is trust Jesus Christ. What you got to do is trust the Holy Spirit. Everything's going to be all right. And then somebody turns on that light. Let's say we're in our own firebrand for salvation one. And we've got our own way to be saved. The sacraments or work or lordship salvation or doing or ritual or whatever it is. And we have been doing this for a long time. And if someone comes in with a light and says, no, all you got to do is trust in Him, I want that set out. I've got to get that. I hate that. Because what that is doing is saying what you're doing is wrong, and it shows you why. Because all that God wants is for you to trust Him. So what do you have to do? You hate that light, and you want it out of here. You don't want somebody coming in with the truth. Because the truth says what? You are not just trusting God. So you've got to set that light out. We have a lot of words for that in Galatians. The offspring of the slave woman always persecutes the offspring of the free woman. What are we talking about? That's this concept. I hate you. I hate that. I've got to kill Abel. I've got to kill Jesus Christ. I being the human race. Because Abel demonstrates and reveals, as you think of Abel as Jesus Christ and Cain as the human race, I've got to get rid of that. Because it's revealing that the great works that I'm bringing God are wrong. And they're not wrong. They can't be wrong. I've made them. They're my firebrand. God's got to be impressed with what I do and save me, deliver me, bless me. So I've got to put this light out so that I don't have to deal with that. And just stay with this. We dealt with Wednesday night, a very important class. I hope you get the tape if you want to. For 500 years, this whole battle of Lutherans and Catholics, and Lutherans aren't even really involved in it, but they've been dealing with, and they're dealing with now, the Vatican and all this, with salvation by faith only, rather than the church and doing good works and all of this type of thing. And I like the way one of the spokesmen put it very clearly. People, we're not going to give up what we have died for and what we've killed for. When you've got a list, and you've been doing your list, please understand, when you witness to people, even an unbeliever to be saved, that's in some kind of a list to be saved, or a Christian to be filled with the Spirit by just faith, and they have some kind of list for law, it's a tremendous step of faith to say, I will drop what I would have died for and what I've even killed for. I can't accept that light of just faith. I have killed. What you're telling me then is, all the people that have died for this were wrong. All the people we killed, we were wrong in killing them. You're wrong killing them anyway. Grace and love doesn't have to do that. You understand that? If somebody is doing grace and love and somebody doesn't want grace through faith, love says, fine. Love doesn't hate. Love doesn't have to kill you. Why? Because you're not a threat to love. Love and faith and grace are a threat to evil. But with anybody who's doing work that has a list, they're no threat to grace and faith. Grace and faith shines on its own. So that's why love will not hate somebody. But let's just set that aside. My point here is that for centuries now, we've been killing and we have died for all of our lists. And you want to come along and say, all we have is trust? Sorry, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do it. Has nothing to do about it. What's the truth? It's just we've been doing it for so long, and we've made some pretty big steps on this deal. And we're not going to give it up. Okay, let's go back now and look at a second reference. Is our passage, John 3:19. That's what we're studying. So let's go to John 8. Oh, my goodness. Yes. That's what evil is. Beautiful. Yes. And that's what I want you to see. What does evil mean to you? That's what evil is. I'm doing this so much for God, I don't even want that light, and I will kill it and hate it. And that's why in verse 20 of John 3, they hate the light. That's why in this context of love, you're going to have hate. Because where you have people, the light, darkness hates it. Where you have love, you're going to have hate. That's why some of the best love movies are filled with the whole turmoil, the whole struggle. The best love movies, romantic movies, and stories and poems, long poems, deal with this whole struggle, love and hate. Because where there's love, there's going to be hate. Where there's light, darkness, and darkness is going to reject it. Yes, that's exactly right. Okay, let's look at John 8:12. John 8:12, where we have the next reference to darkness for John, and as far as our flow of study is going, John 8:12, he says, again, therefore, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Now, in dealing with, let me get there with you, so I can talk with you. John 8:12. Again, therefore, Jesus spoke to them, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of his of life. Okay. Shall not walk in darkness. If we walk, people, by our own doing, we're going to walk in darkness. But if we walk by the one that God sent, that is Jesus Christ and later the Holy Spirit, then we're not going to be walking in darkness. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. Go back to the Isaiah 50. You've got verse 9 and 10. Verse 9 is walking in his light. Verse 10, walking in your own light. Shall not walk in darkness, that's walking in your own light, but shall have the light of life. Now, so we're going to have Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit as far as our study. The next reference, John 12:35. Let's take a look at that. John 12:35 and 36. I thank you for speaking. I like that. If you got a question or comment, we're not, you know, there aren't 5,000 people here. We're a family, small family. I love that. So feel very free to say something. All right, John 12:35. Something pertinent to what we're doing. Okay. John 12:35. Jesus therefore said to them, for a little while longer the light, referring to himself in context, is among you. Walk while you have the light, that darkness may not overtake you. He who walks in the darkness shall not know where he goes. All right, this is Jesus Christ himself, but does this mean that when he leaves or departs, there will be no more light? No, because he's going to send us another helper, just like himself. He will send us another light, luminary light of himself, and that is the Holy Spirit. Now look at verse 36. While you have the light, believe in the light, in order that you may become sons of light. These things Jesus spoke, and he departed and hid himself from them. Now, people, he's speaking to believers. So what Jesus Christ is saying, even in following Jesus Christ while he was right there physically, was to walk by faith in him. He departs, and we walk by faith. He departs, we continue to walk by faith in the one whom he has sent. So notice that we walk by this by faith. Then he departs and hid himself from them. This is very important. The picture of the Christian church, people. Are you watching me? Look at the last phrase. And hid himself from them. I hesitate asking this. I'm afraid somebody might. But has anybody seen Jesus Christ physically lately? Anybody seen him at all? Physically. He's hidden. He went and hid himself. If you follow what's going on and relate this to what's coming up with the church, and hid himself from them. He's hid himself from us, as it were. He's departed from earth. So here's the picture of the church. Jesus Christ is departed. Now, will we continue to walk by faith? Will we continue to walk by the faith in the light that He has sent to us, that is in the Holy Spirit? That's the only way you're going to walk in light now. He has hid Himself. He's gone. He's departed. This is the whole momentum of the first 14, 13 chapters of John. Actually, verse 12. I'm here, I'm leaving. And then from then on, it's His leaving and the Holy Spirit. The coming of the Holy Spirit. 13, 14, 15, 16, the sending of the second light. The sending of the Holy Spirit. I'm hiding myself. I'm leaving. But I'm not going to leave you in the dark. I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. All right, look at chapter 12, verse 46. 12, 46. We have the purpose of the sending. I have come as light into the world. People, there's the reason for the sending. So that the light could come into the world. Now, this is true of either both Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. That everyone who believes in me may not remain in darkness. Now, let's see if you can see this. How do I not remain in darkness? What is my part? Simple faith. There you have it again. Simple faith. And what is the darkness? The darkness, again, is what? Where the light is not. Don't think the darkness is this horrible sin. It is where the light is not. So here you have, in this verse, you have, how do I come out of the darkness? And this is true of unbeliever or believer. If we will walk by faith in the Holy Spirit, people, we are not going to be in darkness. Now, see, you can, as an unbeliever, we come to the light sent for salvation. That's Jesus Christ. But let me show you something. The light has departed earth. As it were, hid Himself. This is the period of the church now. Now, you, as a born-again believer, you can walk, live, function in darkness. You can walk and function in the darkness, or you can function and walk in the light. Now, we see from this verse, it's going to be dependent upon one faith. Because this is how I move from darkness to light. Now, what is going to be the light? The light here is the Holy Spirit. If you do not walk in the Holy Spirit, people, you do not know where you're going, and you're walking in darkness. This is why, now stay with me, this is why religion, churches, denominations, and their lists become so important. I want to be able to see where I'm going. So one church, one whole movement in our list, their main thing is a moral righteousness wherever and whatever you are. All right, I got that. Another one, Bible doctrine. You just learn doctrine. You just learn doctrine. So I'll learn all of this, and this will keep me posted on where I'm going. Another one is proper emotional response to God. So if you have that charismatic or proper emotional response. Another one is big circle service. You just serve and continually serve. Everything you do, you're serving. So I've got that one. That's how I will know I'm walking right. If I'm walking in this moral righteousness, Bible doctrine, emotional response, or service. People, they're walking in darkness. The light is a person. It's Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. Please understand that. The light is not a way of life. The light is a person. People, if you can kind of get into your soul, what your God wants and desires from us, or desires with us, is a personal relationship. So few Christians have an intimacy with God because they're walking by all of these things and they're in the dark. What God is looking for is an intimate, personal relationship with us. I hope you understand intimate. Very closely bonded. And that which bonds us with God, with Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, is faith. If we take it from the human realm, that which bonds us with another person in the human race, in concept, is love. Physically. Sexual relationship bonds two people. What bonds us with God? Faith. We are one with Him. I am in Him and He is in me. And we're walking in the light. When we're walking by faith. Faith in Him. We're walking in this light. So as a believer, if faith becomes a great issue, And what is the light? The light is a person, the one whom God has sent. He has not left us in darkness. I'm leaving you, but I will not leave you in darkness. Now, sir, you can see this in another light. Look at 1 John. Well, my time is going, and I'm supposed to be in verse 20 and through with it before we leave. All right? 1 John. Look at 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Verse 5. And this is the message we have heard. By the way, bear in mind, don't just think of this as another book. This is the same author. So what we're doing is we're staying with this author and his thinking, keeping the flow of his flow and his thinking. And this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you. So John was there and he heard the message, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Okay, who's God? Jesus Christ is God, the Holy Spirit is God, and God the Father is God, obviously. But both of these, all three are God. Okay. And this is the message we've heard from him and I, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness. So God is light. The Son is light. The Holy Spirit is light. If you walk by faith in the Son, you're in the light. If you walk by faith in the Holy Spirit, you're in the light. You walk in light. The people, all you have to do to walk in darkness is to refuse to walk by faith. No, what am I going to do? Go back to claim. I want to do for God. People, we're not talking about a rebellious spirit. We're talking, we are in the sense that I'm not going to do it your way, but we're talking about, I want to do for God. I want to make my own firebrand. I want to make my own life. Here it is. It's my best produce. God, please get in your mind Cain. Don't think of Cain as this horrible, horrible, evil, sinning, homosexual, does things to little animals, all this stuff. Don't think of him that way. Cain is a very, very, very religious person. And he desires extremely in his soul to be accepted to God. And he brought God his very best. He's in the dark. He's refused to walk in the light. Just walk by faith, the one I send. And this is what we do when we walk in darkness. So all you have to do as a Christian to walk in darkness is to... You mean that all these people who are doing this are not in the light? You answer that. Don't ask me to answer that. You answer that. You mean all the people who just simply won't trust Jesus Christ are not... You answer that. Every Christian who does, and no matter who they are and how wonderful and how noble and how high their position is before man, if they don't have trust the Spirit, they're in the dark, you answer that. Dark and light are absolute. I've showed you verses of how to walk in the light. How do you see it? What's going on? Let's look now at 1 John 5, 1, verse 5. Now let's look at verse 6. If we claim, that's the word say here, claim, so we claim, people, you can claim anything you want. You can claim faith as they did in James, and the faith is dead. You can claim love as they're doing in John, your love is dead. Just because somebody claims something, people claim love and they don't. They're in love with themselves. So, be careful. If we claim that we have fellowship with him, and many do, they claim it, and yet walk in darkness, now, how am I doing that? I'm not walking by faith in the one whom God has sent. We lie and not practice and do not practice the truth. What's the truth? The truth is the truth of the gospel. I, God, will do it. You trust me. So how do we walk in the darkness? By not walking by faith in the light. That is, in Christ or in his Son. Look at 1 John 2. This is very important to John. It picked up off Christ's teaching. 1 John 2. Let's look at verse 8. On the other hand, I am writing a new commandment to you, which is true in him and in you. Jesus Christ walked by faith in the Spirit, and what came out of him? Love. Now, he says, because the darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining. The one who says he is in the light, and yet hates, by the way, the true light is already set. That's the Holy Spirit taking the place of Jesus Christ. This is the change of the guard. And Jesus Christ departed. So we're at the beginning of the church age here. The one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother. Okay, here's a believer. So he's in the light. I'm in Christ. I'm in the light. And yet hates his brother. Is he in the darkness until now? He's in darkness. Because you can't love Jesus Christ and hate another believer, people. The scripture is very clear. Oh, wait a minute, you're wrong. I'm right with God. I love it. It's just this believer over here. Can't stand them. And I want to kill them. How do I want to kill them? Not kill them with a gun or a knife, but kill them with my tongue. I want to judge them. I want to assassinate them. I want to get rid of them. I want to slam dunk them. I want to judge them. That's how we can kill them. All right, verse 9, 1 John chapter 2, verse 9. The one who says he's in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. This is why a believer walking by faith in the Spirit and therefore love, love isn't going to hate another believer who doesn't even want to walk by faith, people. Love will go into prayer. And there are a lot of things that love will do in that case, but it's not going to turn into a hate. Because what does love do? As we're going to see when we're moving this now into this in Wednesday evening. What does love do now? Love does not consider when wronged. So you can always tell when it's love of the Holy Spirit. When it's not, love is very, you know, wow, you hurt me. But spiritual love doesn't consider when love itself is broken. Doesn't reduce in its intensity. Verse 10. The one who loves his brother abides in the light. Now, so that you know where that light is, that's the Holy Spirit. How do I know that? Who gives us love? What's the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Love. So the light here is the Holy Spirit. And there is no cause for stumbling in him. Why is there no cause of stumbling? One, because he's not in darkness. That makes sense? You're not in darkness, you're not stumbling. Because you can see. There's no stumbling when you are in love. This is conclusive to the eye that we'll see here that when we're walking in love, you're not going to walk in darkness. You're not going to stumble. Because love will not sin. Love will not wrongfully hurt another person. Love will not hate another believer. People, if you're doing spiritual love, you're not going to wrongfully hurt another person. In any respect. Verse 11, but the one who hates his brother, and this is one who claims that he's still in the light, though, the one who hates his brother is in the darkness. The very fact he hates him. And he will deceive himself. He will deceive himself that he's not. If you can understand this deception of not, you'll understand 1 John 1:8. People have taken that out of context and have made it something that it's not even meant to be saying. One of the worst things that people do is this denial of where we are. Denial is very, very heavy in the physical realm. One of the most dangerous things that people do, and how many times do we know, if you know anybody that's personally done this, I don't have a heart attack. I'm not a heart attack risk. I'm not this. I'm not that. We live in a denial about our own existence. It's okay for me. We're in denial. Now, I'm not on any kind of a kick here. I'm merely making a point how easy and common it is for us to go into a denial about things, even in the practical realm of living. We're in denial. This isn't going to bother me, or this isn't really happening to me. I really don't have to care about what I eat. I really don't have to care about what I take into my body. I'm okay. You're lying. You're deceiving yourself. You're a heart risk. You're this risk. You're that risk. But you lie and deceive yourself. This is what Christians do. We deceive ourselves, and we say we're not. I love Christ. You hate your brother. You're deceiving yourself, and you're lying. You're sinning, but you deny it. Acknowledge the truth. Come to the truth, so that you can enter into the light by faith. Verse 11. Then, but the one who hates his brother is in the darkness, and walks in the darkness. And does not know where he's going, because the darkness is blinded his eyes. Now, this will help you. What is that darkness? Darkness is, I'm okay with God. And nobody's going to tell me I'm not okay with God. Now, the evil is what you're doing. The darkness is, I'm okay with God, and you can't see that you're not. There's this veil. You get people that are in some religious movement, some big thing of their list, well, you have to do something for God. They can't even see that they're not correct because they're in this darkness, and they're like Cain. I am right before God, and I am going to kill the light, Jesus Christ. I'm going to kill faith. Got to get rid of that because I want this acceptable. I want my work acceptable. And they deny that they're in darkness and don't even see that they're in darkness. It's the worst condition to be in because you're in deception. All right, let's look at Acts. We're running out of time, but let's look at Acts chapter 26. Just pick up a few pertinent passages here. Acts 26. I'm doing this instead of just giving you 50 points. I'd rather take you through, let Scripture open your eyes. Let the Spirit open your eyes through your Scripture. All right, Acts 26. And let's read verse 15. Acts 26, and let's read verse 15. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. You know, we're talking about Paul and his meeting of the Lord. But arise and stand on your feet. For this purpose I have appeared to you, and to appoint you a minister and a witness, not only in the things which you have seen, but also in the things in which I will appear to you, delivering you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles, to whom I am sending you. Now verse 18, very important in our study. To open the eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God. There's your darkness and your light. In order that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. So again, we have the issue of faith, but that's not our main thing here. Look at a phrase, to open their eyes, that they may turn from the darkness to light. From the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that is, to the light. Even from the dominion of Satan, that's the kingdom of darkness, good, doing good things for God, to God, kingdom of light, in order that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. People, faith sanctifies. Faith sanctifies. Not something that you and I do. Faith sanctifies in salvation one. Faith sanctifies in salvation two. Often I will use the phrase that the first sending of Jesus Christ is eternal salvation, and then sanctification is by the Holy Spirit. Well, in truth, theologically, sanctification occurs, there is a sanctification even in salvation one. But what I want you to see is, and I like that, because it just shows, these two are different, but they are similar. Jesus Christ is different from the Holy Spirit, but similar. The Holy Spirit is different from Christ, but similar. Sanctification in Jesus Christ is different from sanctification in the Spirit, but they are similar. Because when we are sanctified by the Holy Spirit in our walk of faith in the Spirit, then we take on our position that we have of sanctification in Christ. I hope that's not too difficult. There is an eternal sanctification we have in Christ, and when you walk in the Spirit, you are in line with that eternal sanctification experientially. But it's true like everything else. You have been given eternal life. When you walk in the Spirit, you have spiritual life, so it's corresponding to your eternal life. You are imputed with perfect righteousness. You want righteousness in your Christian life? Walk in the Spirit. That righteousness that He gives us is analogous to the righteousness that we have been imputed into. So they are different, but they're similar. Because when we're sanctified by the Spirit, He is putting us into our sanctification in Jesus Christ. Let's take a moment and look at Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, verse 8. Ephesians 5, verse 8. And we're almost through with the darkness part. Ephesians 5, 8. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So therefore, now that's your state of existence, eternally. You're in the light. Walk as children of light. How do I do this? Many people answer, do I list? No, you're going to walk back into the darkness. We walk in the light. If we enter the light by faith, that is the Holy Spirit. And look at Ephesians 6:12. Another very important passage on this, and that this will close. Ephesians 6:12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of darkness. Okay. What is that? First is Satan and his angelic army. It refers in the forces of darkness as they function in religion, as they function in the form of another gospel, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Satan is in this whole realm of darkness, people. And I've got to please get this into your mind about Satan as your enemy. Satan's big deal is to get us into all of these things. Satan's big deal, people, is to get you into evil, doing something for God. Please get that into your soul. He wants you to do for God. The greatest proponent of law, the greatest proponent of righteousness, is Satan. Where I need to take you now is on a journey to Scripture from Job to Revelation and show you over and over and over how Satan goes to the throne and wants to point out those who are sinning. Those who are what? Not doing it right. Not doing well. Not this. So he says to God, you can't use them. And every time people you judge, that's what you're following your father, the devil. You're not following Christ. When you go tell somebody they can't serve, when you go tell somebody they can't do something for the Lord because they've committed some horrible sin that offended you, you are with your father, the devil. I'm that strong on this. You are with your father, the devil. That's what he wants to do. He demands law. What did Jesus Christ come to do? To judge? No. Take our judgment. So what you and I desire to do, if we're of our Father, God, and therefore following Christ through the Spirit, what we want to do is get that person to what? Repent, reconcile, by faith, go to faith, and then be reconciled, restored. What did Christ say to Peter? Immediately. Peter, go feed my sheep. Peter, go pastor. Peter, go feed my sheep. I want you back in there. That's what he does. But not Satan. Satan desires to keep you in that darkness. Keep you out of all of that. And those that are just to keep you working for God. Keep you on that straight and narrow. Keep you in that walking door for you. If you ever do anything wrong, God's going to get you. That's where Satan wants to keep you. That's the evil in the darkness that he desires to keep you. God desires to bring you into the light. When you just walk by faith, he produces it in you. These things that are done in the light are wrought by God. They're done by the Holy Spirit. We'll come back and see that. That takes us through a little bit of the darkness, and I hope you have an understanding of it in the New Testament because it is so important what this darkness is and what it isn't, and how you and I abide in it, and how we can easily get out of it, how we can easily get into the light of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, simply by faith. That's it. And you're right back in the light. But Christians don't like that. They're like Satan. They want to keep you down. Keep you in the darkness. Keep you down. Boy, no, we're going to use law and righteousness and condemn and judge. No, what God sent Christ for, what God sent the Holy Spirit for, is that people is not in the scrapping business. He's in the salvaging business. Look at the cross. Do you think the cross is scrapping or salvaging? It's salvage. I want to bring you out. Do you think the Holy Spirit is salvage or scrapping? It's salvage. That quickly. I'll restore you. What's your view of God? Is your view of God he's down here trying to see who he can slam dunk? Does that praise him? Does that glorify him? Or does doing what no one else can do glorify him? bring us up out of it, resurrect us out of that. Just what to do with God. What gives me more glory? To resurrect us out of sin and darkness as believers? Or to just promise and keep us down there? Resurrection power glorifies in people. It's something that nobody else can do but Him. Satan can keep us in darkness. Other Christians can keep you in darkness. You can keep yourself in darkness. But your God can resurrect you right out of it. That's the kind of God you got. Put you right into the light. But I don't deserve to be in the light. He does. That's why it's grace through faith. None of us do. And the more you realize you don't, then the more you'll run to His grace and faith. To faith. I don't deserve to be in the light. Great. Now come to it. Just trust the one I send, the Spirit. Walk in the light. It's that simple. Don't I have to do? No. You don't have to do anything. I do it. For you to do something is evil, and that's where we'll start next Sunday morning, the closing the word of prayer. Father, how grateful we are that you are a God who desires that we not remain in darkness, and that you have sent your Son to redeem us and purchase out of darkness. And what a loving and merciful God you are, Father, that now that we are your children, you've done even more. That we do not remain in darkness as believers, as your sons. But all we have to do now is to trust your Spirit and your Son. And He will instantly put us into light. Take us out of darkness. And all of the manifestations of darkness put us into the light. It's a manifestation of Christ. Father, we thank you for your Spirit. We can open our eyes and allow us to see these things. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have provided us with everything necessary, including the measure of faith. Father, it is our purpose now to walk in the light, individually and corporately in this assembly, to fulfill our purpose in the short time that we have on earth. And time is fleeting, and we know that. Father, we praise you for the God you are in your Son's precious name. Amen.